Welcome to 15 Minutes in the Word with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. We all have moments in life when we feel overwhelmed, times when we need direction and protection. The psalmist David experienced these feelings, yet he also knew the one who could lead him through life's dark valleys. David knew that as our good shepherd, God wants to provide for us every single day. Today, Joyce takes a deeper look at David's Psalm 23, breaking it down verse by verse, revealing the freedom we can have when we follow God's leading. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
Seven things we must do to stay on the path of righteousness. Seven things. Be willing to live sacrificially, to love Christ and to love others with all of your heart, and to realize that love always equals sacrifice. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Where do you want to go eat tonight, honey? Well, I want to go here. Well, I'd really rather go here. Well, the person who gives in first is actually the greater person, not the one who gets their way. Okay, I'll move on to number two. My gosh, you guys can make it hard sometimes. Standing alone and not following the crowd if the crowd's going in the wrong direction. That's the second thing we need to do. I marvel that nobody prayed with Jesus. What he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went through alone. At least he had no people with him. He had God with him. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. At my first trial, Paul said, no one acted in my defense as my advocate or took my part or even stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. I love that. Everybody let me down. God forgive them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me, the gospel might be preached. Let me say it again. One of the things that you'll have to do to stay on the path of righteousness at different times is be willing to stand alone, even if the whole crowd is going in the wrong direction. Number three, and I personally think this is the hardest one, if we're going to stay on the path of righteousness and keep letting our path get brighter and brighter, how many of you want to grow in God? Okay, I'm about to tell you the number one reason why people don't grow in God. We have to give up wrong attitudes that we feel justified in having. Self-justification is about the most dangerous thing that we can get into. Offense? Well, I have a reason to be offended. Anger? Well, I have a reason to be angry. Resentful? Well, I have a reason to resent you. You've never done anything for me except take advantage of me. Bitter? Well, you'd be bitter too if you've gone through what I've gone through. Self-pity? Well, you'd feel sorry for yourself too if you've been through what I've been through. Well, here's the thing. We've all got reasons to have bad attitudes, but we have no right to, because God is willing to deliver us from everything that's ever been unjustly done to us if we will do things His way. Having a reason and having a right are two different things. Amen. You know, I'm called to do something for God, and I want to do it well. And to be honest, I don't care how many reasons I might have to get in this pulpit and be mad at three people. I have no right to do that, because when I step up here, when I took this position, I not only came into a privilege, I came into a responsibility. And that responsibility means that I can't be a phony and I can't play games, because I don't do anything fancy. I've only got God's anointing in His presence. And if I can't maintain that, then I'm done. And you're not going to carry God's anointing and be angry and bitter and resentful and feel sorry for yourself and have a chip on your shoulder. There are more people in the body of Christ that are mad at somebody than those that are not. And it is the single number one biggest problem that we have in the church. The number one biggest problem that we have in the church. People sit in churches and watch a preacher every week that they gossip about all week, and they're mad at because he didn't shake their hand when they went out the church door. And you know what? We know these things are true. And I'm glad that you're in agreement. But I hope the things that I'm saying also resonate with you the next time you're tempted to have a bad attitude and keep it longer than you should. And I hope you'll realize that God's trying to move you to a little brighter place on your path. And every time that we have an opportunity to do the right thing when it's hard, we grow. We grow. Matter of fact, the harder it is, the more you grow. Self-justification is very dangerous. Number four, instead of finding fault and complaining, I need to learn to accept life and have a thankful attitude. Amen. Number five, take responsibility for my actions and stop blaming others for what goes wrong in my life. Number six, instead of being self-willed and rebellious, we become willing to submit to authority, both God's and man's. No, now that's pitiful. I mean, that is pitiful. Come on, don't make me come down there. I don't... You know what? I think I said this morning, but we have such a problem with rebellion toward authority in our society today. And listen, I know that there are people that are in positions of authority that don't treat you right, and I'm not saying you need to become a doormat, but it's gone way, way, way beyond that. You should see, even in meetings like this, church meetings, the things that we deal with people who have come to get a miracle breakthrough in their life. You might say, I need you not to sit in that area that's reserved. Well, bless God, I'm going to sit where I want to. Oh, yeah. Or, you know, I won't get into my thing, but, you know. Do you realize if you're not handicapped and you park in a handicapped space, you're rebelling against authority? Oh, you can relax. I've only got a few minutes left. Number seven, do unto others as you want them to do unto you, not as they have done unto you. When you do what is right, you're not going to like this part, but I got to do it anyway. When you do what is right, oh, could I even say this to them, God? You're not going to like it. You are not going to clap for this one, I can tell you. When you do what's right, you can expect persecution. Now, I'm not saying that good things are not going to happen in our life. Hey, listen, I got a great life, but I've been through the persecution. And I don't know when I might get another round of it, but I've determined that I'm going to do what I believe is right, and I'm going to follow the will of God for my life, and I hope everybody likes it, but if they don't, I've still got to go with God. Matthew 5, 10, and 11, one of the few places where God says the same thing in two verses, where he repeats himself. And I think when God repeats himself, we need to really make sure that we pay attention. Matthew chapter 5 is called the Sermon on the Mount. Talks about what you have to do to be really blessed. I know, you know, a message like this is not very happy on your flesh, but boy, it's going to help you later on when you get out there and you got a decision to make and you do the right thing. Matthew 5:10, blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction. Man, it's just like long in the Amplified. Blessed are you. Blessed are those when they are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You may suffer a little bit in the flesh, but you're going to get something inside that nobody can take away from you. Verse 11, blessed, happy, to be envied, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions? Are you, when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you on my account? How does this persecution manifest? Well, you might be making a right decision and you may be accused of thinking you're better than other people. Well, think you're too good to go to that movie, huh? Think you're too good to hang out with us. Yeah, you just think you're better than us. It ain't got nothing to do with it. You're just trying to stay alive and obey God and have a happy life and not kill yourself. Why do you think you're better than somebody if you don't want to sit down and get high on drugs with them? You know? I don't think that's thinking you're better than somebody else. I think that's using a little bit of wisdom and showing you got some brains. You might make a right decision, and this is a big one, and you may be rejected by those who don't want to live right. You guys getting tired? I will fear or dread no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. To get from place to place, we have to go through valleys. Mountaintops are wonderful, but they always have valleys between them. If I'm one place and I want to get to someplace else, I'm almost always going to have to go down lower before I come up higher. What God has taught me is if you want your circumstances to come up higher, then a little bit more of your flesh has to go down lower. He must increase and I must decrease. Now, good scripture here. Psalm 84, 6 and 7. Passing through the valley of weeping, Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessings, and they go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. What in the world does that mean? Passing through hard times, not living there, not getting trapped there, not spending your life there. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't live there, I go through. And that place of weeping becomes a pool of blessings. And in that place, I learn to go from strength to strength to strength to strength. I am made better in the difficult places in my life. Amen. I'll tell you what, God has got some good things. Oh my goodness, if you could just see the plans that God has for you. Oh my, my, my. He has got some good stuff ready for you, and now you know what's happening? He's getting you ready for what he's got ready for you. It's yours, bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, but now we're getting rid of some of our wool.
Thanks for listening. No matter our life's circumstances, we do not have to walk through them alone. Let's learn to trust the Lord, and instead of trying to be in control, we need to allow God to be our shepherd. Remember, he wants to guide us every day. As we trust him with each step we take, we can know that God is leading us to victory, a victory and blessing that he promises everyone, eternal life with him. For more resources from Joyce, visit joycemeyer.org.
Well, I hope that you feel that I'm a partner in your life by teaching you the Word of God. And I'm asking you to partner with me in helping us continue reaching out not only to you through this program, but to so many people around the world that still don't know Jesus. Together, we can do so much more than what we can do by ourselves. So please, become a brand new partner with us today.
To join us in partnership right now, go to joycemeyer.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes in the Word with Joyce.